veteran
and his emotional support Canadian
scream into the void about the Mormon Church. If you want to reach us, we are on Instagram at NotSoPeterPriesthood.
And you can email us at NotSoPeterPriesthood@gmail.com.
Thanks for joining us. Enjoy!
Bye!
Drink some more caffeine because you're anxious. Yep.
Yeah. If you have such bad anxiety, why do you drink coffee? And I'm like, coffee doesn't make me like jittery. Like I can have, I did it the other night. I had like a Dr. Pepper and rum and then I went right to bed and I had like the best night of sleep of my life.
Yeah. It knocks me out too.
I don't know.
Who knows? All right. So, Dusty does not know again what we're talking about. Although I kind of mentioned it, but she probably forgot.
Yeah, you did. I think I did forget though. I got lot of antihistamines in my system right now. Let's just roll with it. And yeah. I would like to apologize to the listeners if you hear me. I'm very from allergies, so I am sorry if you hear disgusting nose sounds. I'm so sorry. I'm doing my best to mute when I feel it coming on. So,
I have a side quest first before
I have a side quest.
Okay. You got so excited.
Kate, when you walk into the Calgary Zoo, they have like light pots on the as you walk down in the ramp that goes like under the C train. And I always want to like stand on them and be like, I have a side quest for you. No. My poor husband lives with me, you guys. Like, pray for him. He goes through a lot.
He's destined for sainthood is what that is.
Oh, we have said long in this family, any man willing to marry a Johnson woman immediately celestial heaven. It has like it's a lot.
My mom gave me this folder of like a bunch of my stuff that she had while I was in the military, and like and it's just sitting in my trunk because I don't want to do anything with it, you know, whatever. So,
as you do.
And of course, it's gotten all over the trunk, so it's, you know, it's a big old mess. But
how you're asking me to come organize your car? It's weird.
Yes. That's a weird way to ask, but yes.
Okay, sure. I'll see you in 9 hours.
Perfect. So I found this letter from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And it even says at the top, it's from the 70s. So it's like big deal. And it's like, like the header is from the 70s. I don't know. Like, did he just put this on there? Cause he's not in the 70s, the person that wrote it. So I just thought it was interesting. And it, like a callback, I was like, I don't even remember doing that. So this was from September 10th, 2012. It was when I was in boot camp. And it's okay. Dear brother and sister Taylor, we recently learned that Jacob has joined the military and is attending basic training at Great Lakes, Illinois. He puts the GLRTC. Anyway, we are pleased to inform you that he has been attending the church services on base and are grateful for the spirit he brings to the meetings.
What?
Yeah, President Washburn is the church leader at GLRTC and will do all he can to help strengthen Jacob's faith and testimony. We appreciate your support and know you join with us in asking that the Lord will guide and protect him during this time of uncertainty and turmoil in the world. So, in these troubled times, it is heartwarming to see sons and daughters courageously step forward to help preserve our freedom and way of life. You can be proud of the part you played in molding Jacob's character. Courage and patriotism do not come automatically. They are planted in the hearts of children by their parents. We express our gratitude to you for your selfless service in him behalf. Fucker. In his behalf. Didn't proofread it, apparently. We have a deep and abiding interest in Jacob's welfare and want to ensure the blessings of church membership are available wherever he is stationed. As military members move around, occasionally they are unable to find out where and when the church meetings are held. Our military relations division can assist them. Likewise, we are able to help concerned parents locate the bishop or branch president where their son or daughter is stationed. In addition, many times we can assist in locating the name of the group leader aboard a ship or at a deployed location around the world. Then he gives, if you have any questions, and it's from Elder Bruce A. Carlson, who's a general in the Air Force, retired. But I went, the only reason I went to church during boot camp was to get away from the RDCs for like an hour.
Yeah.
I barely remember. I went once. I can remember one time going and being like, just so tired. It just felt like a fever dream, you know?
Yeah.
I remember meeting some people, but then also just like being like, I just wanted to relax. I wanted to have a place where nobody was yelling for a little bit. And this is it. This was my only. Yeah. But aww. I think it's a little bit like, which I guess, you know, it's good. Like they have that ability for, you know, it was nice to have that. But at the same time, I was like, I hated going to it because it was stressful to get there because, you know, you never know who you're going to run into when you're walking. And if I forget to, I think there was one time I went to a dentist appointment or something, and I was walking by myself, scared to death because I was like, who knows what we walk up on, and they're going to like just yell at you. So I'm just like, here I am like 29 years old and scared shitless, you know, about like, you know, like anyway, but, like it was stressful to get there because you don't, and I was the only one that like quote unquote Mormon in my whole thing, so it wasn't like I could go with somebody, but and I could have gone to any of the churches. I would have been fine with like, I'll just hang out with these guys and go to that church, you know, I don't care. But
yeah, you just needed that like quiet space. Yeah,
but I think it was what struck me in that letter was that he made it sound like I was attending church services and that I was like seeking help and seeking whatever, and that he was like, oh, we're here to support you and all this stuff. And now
I'm listening thinking like, is this a whole side of Jake I don't know, where he was like really into the church for a little while?
Oh, in 2012 I was definitely not, like I was
gonna say it. What?
In the Navy,
I was lying like, all this time.
Yeah, I think that was probably the last church service I actually went to on purpose. Yeah. I've gone to some where, like, I went to like my niece and nephew's like Christmas program since then.
Oh, you know, yeah,
whatever. But
yeah, I went to my sister's farewell, homecoming.
Oh.
Maybe both. I don't even remember. It's been years though.
Yeah, I don't. I've been invited a few times when I was living with my parents. They were like, you should come. And I'm like, no, I shouldn't. Anyway. It's just interesting. And now I'm like, oh, that makes sense how they found me when I was at Quarry Station. When I went from, it was always a mystery to me. I was like, how did they fucking find me? It's these people. Probably told them, oh, he's going to this place. So we know the people that are there.
So how creepy is it that they, like, they keep, like, I know the church they keeps track of everybody anyways, but, like, to actually see, like, documented proof of it is, like...
Weird. It was very, yeah. It was very weird for me. I was like, oh, I don't, this feels grimy as
Katie. Yeah, grimy. Katie, shout out. It's grimy. Yeah, it feels very almost nefarious to know where you are, where you're stationed, the fact that there, here's this, here is how we can track your son down. Like,
And they paint it as like a comforting thing for my parents. Like, yeah. Oh, we're going to take care of him. We're just, and it's like, no, you're actually giving them false hope because I haven't actually had that conversation with them that I'm like not into the church at all. So you're actually doing a disservice to me and to my parents. So
because you're giving them the stay out. Like, oh, he's doing the right thing while he's not under our roof. And you're like, actually, no. Actually, so it's like a worse letdown when you eventually do tell them because they were like, wait, but like 5 minutes ago, you were super active and like, oh, yeah. I hate that. I hate that so much.
Yeah. That was why
also you're a grown-ass man, like fuck off, nobody needs to know what you're doing, like
yeah
Could you imagine if my parents got a letter from like Starbucks and they're like, we're just letting you know that like Dusty is here once a week and we're just like, we're keeping an eye on her and making sure she doesn't get like a tetra, whatever it is. A venti. Now, there is another Starbucks that opened in town, so we're going to make sure that we can. Could you imagine? Oh, like, just let me live my life.
Yeah,
exactly. Nobody cares. Like, my weekly Starbucks and you're going to church are on the same level.
They are totally the same. Hey, Starbucks is like church to some people. Probably
to some people. I go like once every 2 weeks. This is like a little treat to myself because I can't afford Starbucks on like a weekly basis.
Oh, there's
some people go on a daily basis.
What I know. I work with one of those people and I was like, Jesus, girl.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I know that I'd be broke. I'd have to clean a hell of a lot more houses.
Well, that was a fun side quest, So,
yeah.
But now we have the real quest.
Oh.
You're like, oh.
Wait, did I get like a hero equipment something from that side quest? Did I?
Yeah, you got the
My stamina's Sword increased. Sword of
Laban.
Oh.
Oh. No, your stamina increased. We'll do that. We'll
perfect.
Say that.
Okay.
You I'm have not... no more allergies. Poof. Yeah.
Oh, yay. I was going to say, where can I trade in the Sword of Laban for, like, additional healing potion?
I do want to talk about that someday, like a deep dive into that, because nothing gets the Desnets more fired up than when you bring up the Sword of Laban and like all that stuff. Oh,
yeah, because wasn't it like with the golden plates or the brass plate, whatever the fuck they were made of, it doesn't matter at the end of the day. Weren't they like with it?
Yeah, and we never talk about that, right? They never talked about how just, like there was like a breastplate and sword buried with the plates that Joseph pulled out, but they suddenly just, we forgot about that detail.
Yeah. Like, never mentioned
maybe
again.
Maybe because it was all made up.
It was a plot hole.
Plot hole!
Should have hired a better editor, just saying.
Okay, so on Cinco de Mayo, there was a worldwide devotional for the youth given by Elder Carlos A. Godoy. I'm going to say Godoy. And his wife, Sister Monica Godoy. And they're talking to young adults. And it says, young adults can have a hopeful and joyous future through Christ. So,
or they could have a hopeful and joyous future through,
you know,
honestly, anything.
Anything, yeah.
Starbucks.
Yeah. It all goes back to Starbucks, apparently. This
always coffee. There's always coffee.
Cancer actually, is always coffee.
Just ran out of coffee. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Let's see. And it actually kind of goes along with that letter. I didn't realize that it would, but it does. You know, like just keeping people on the track and whatever. It was
did the Holy Ghost inspire you? Oh, my God. It's so fun for you.
I felt the warm tinglies.
Do you need some antihistamines?
Probably.
It's so jiggly.
In my nose. let's see. So this is from the church news. I couldn't find like the actual, and I didn't want to listen to the whole thing, so I got the highlights from the church news.
The lowlights.
Low lights, yes. It says hindsight. He's like talking about hindsight and how he looks back at joining the church and falling in love with his now wife as direction from a God who knows him and cares for him. So they share their experiences as young adults, including how they met and started a family, and explained principles today's young men and women can apply to more clearly see and follow the Lord's direction when making critical life decisions. So don't think for yourself and don't try to figure out, you know, your own critical thinking skills. Was I talking to you about this? Like how we lack critical thinking skills as adults because
our brains are molded to not think critically. Yeah.
Yep. So he gives, I think it's five things of counsel to young adults. The first one is loneliness. And this one, this is where I was like, oh, we got to talk about this. Okay, so.
Oh, no.
As a recent convert attending Sunday meetings, Elder Godoy would sit by himself in the back of the chapel, then go home after church feeling alone and discouraged. It's not easy to feel we are invisible or don't have much value, said Sister Godoy. For those in a similar situation, please don't let this feeling overwhelm you. You are not alone. That's because the Savior knows them and loves them and has always been there for them. Please don't give up on trying to belong. He will send you angels to help you. Elder Godoy added that we are supposed to be those angels. He encouraged young adults to look beyond their regular friend circle to find those feeling alone or forgotten. Please give them a chance. They need your smile, your handshake, and your friendship. So that sounds innocuous, right? But I'm just sitting there thinking, like, okay, but you can't, loneliness isn't just like the person that's just sitting in the back of the pew, back of the church. It's the person that's like me. Like, I'm sitting there thinking about, like, when I would be listening to Fast and Testimony meeting and hearing them talk about temple marriage, and I'm like, oh, that's never going to happen for me, you know? And just like, you're just like, huh, the marriage that they want and the things that they want, and just feeling like completely alone in that moment. And you don't have to just like be seeking out like the one person that's sitting by themselves. Yes, do that. That's fine. But it's not just a physical thing. It's like, yeah, there's an emotional loneliness that can happen too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can be in a crowded room and still feel completely alone.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, it's, I don't think that because the wards that I've been in, they've been very clickish, you know, and it's very easy, especially in like Utah and Idaho wards. It's like, there's a whole lot of, there's like a mean girls.
There's like a cool mean girl. Yeah. Same with like, any single ward I went to. Yeah.
The, you know, like the tables, like as you're walking through the cafeteria, there's the goths, there's the weird
the
band kids.
The sexually geeks. Active band geeks.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's never, I mean, and yeah, I think in this instance, they're thinking like, oh, that girl that's just sitting by herself on the table, don't talk about her, you know, or they don't even notice her, you know. But in my experience, like, just saying this stuff, oh, but you're never really alone. That's such a cop-out. You're never really alone. The Savior's with you. You got the Holy Ghost with you all the time. Okay, that doesn't help my depression, Sarah.
No.
I don't know why I said Sarah.
Not our Sarah.
Not our Sarah. Sarah
was
an
H. Clearly. No.
Anyway. Any thoughts on that? I don't know.
No, I completely, like, it's very, this is like a problem I've had with the church for like my whole life, is they say like, we're all here together and we're a community. And if you don't fit like perfectly within their like pre-designated box, you're not actually part of it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
there's very othering to people that don't fit that, you know, and like, yeah. Just what my little sister's experienced as a, like, she's not fully white, you know, mm-hmm. So race plays into it a lot. And yeah. I, like, she's been bullied by the little white girls from that are little Mormon girls that are supposed to be super nice. And they treat her like shit, you know?
Yeah. Like when I started going, cause I got kicked out of my family ward.
Oh yeah.
So I started going to a singles ward and I was like a pariah because, well, like, she's been married. She's
had sex. She's chewed up gum.
Yeah. She's a licked cupcake. Like your cupcake.
She's like, I am bisexual. I will.
I was having this conversation with my best friend yesterday about my other best friend. Calm
whoa,
down.
Whoa.
Calm down.
There you go. Good catch.
About some video or whatever with, I think I sent it to you too, where like there was backup male backup dancers. And like somebody was talking about short kings. And I was like, there was men in that video. Yeah.
It was with Sabrina Carpenter and she you were like, there were men in there?
I told her about that. And she's like, yeah, you're super straight. I had to go, what? I was like, I did not. Nope.
No, when I saw that video, I was like, oh, she's tan. And then I was like, that was all I saw. And then I was like, oh, they're good dancers, you know? And I was like, oh, I like the song. That was the whole.
Don't recall what the song was. Had no idea there was male dancers. Just, it's fine. She's Everything's fine. I'm fine.
Got a good taste.
Yes.
All right, so the second thing is dating. As you can, anyway, when Elder Godoy first met his future wife, it was love at first sight for him. Sure it was. Yet for Sister Godoy, falling in love was a more gradual process that started his friendship. Yeah, which means that she didn't find you at all attractive.
She had to wear her down.
She says, for some it will be clear and strong. For others, it could take more time, effort, and patience.
This is what drives me crazy. Like, God said we're supposed to be together. Why wouldn't he let both people in that situation know? Like, it's such a... Because that was my ex-husband, too. He's so, like, I prayed in the temple, and I know we're supposed to be married. And I was like, I...
How do you say no to that? It's that same mentality of Joseph Smith saying, the angel will come down with a flaming sword if you don't marry me.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely. Like, I just... Oh, and that's something that actually really pisses me off really badly.
So she says it will become more evident as you keep investing in the relationship. Don't give up quickly because you didn't have a strong impression initially. So ignore the red flags. Just ignore that he's a little clingy. Ignore that he's not your type. Ignore that, like, you're just, you know, if God told him that he's in a that you're his.
Yeah.
Soulmate, then I guess you gotta like make it work.
Yeah, because first of all, he's a priesthood holder. Second of all, he's a return missionary. Third of all, he went to the temple. You can't go to the temple, so how would you get personal revelation that he has?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Like, it sounds like she got groomed. Like
100%.
Yeah.
Because I'm guessing she was pretty damn young when this was going on.
Experience teaches us that some great marriages started in a small way, little by little, date by date. So it's just, I'm like, you can know if you're going to click with somebody like on the first date, second date. You're like, personalities, I don't. And yeah, first dates, there's a different impression that you give because you're always, I'm a serial first dater because like, I just, gays can't seem to get past that point. Or maybe I can't get past that point. But like, so I've been on plenty of first dates, but like, I just, I got to the point where I can tell, like, this is not going to go anywhere. This is not. But.
I guess I don't have a leg to stand on, because I think the first thing I ever said to Pat was, you fucking asshole. Why did you ruin my whiteboard? It's fine. It took a couple years. We became friends, obviously.
And it was.
I thought he was hot, though. The first time I saw him, I thought he was really hot. But then I went into the kitchen of my apartment and there was like this big old, I can't even remember what it's called, stupid dragon dude that he draws on everything.
I thought you were going to say a big old penis on there. I was like,
I'm shocked it wasn't. But and I said, is this permanent? And he was like in the living room and he like looked through the kitchen. He was like, maybe. And I was like, you fucking asshole.
Oh,
he ruined my whiteboard. Anyway, it's fine.
You're totally over it, I can tell.
He every once in a while will like draw them in the house, and I'm like, he's like, hey, got your attention, didn't it? And I'm like,
So Elder Godoy added that the process of finding the one is similar to the process of receiving revelation. Quoting Elder David A. Bucknar of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles from April 2011, Elder Godoy said revelation sometimes comes as immediate as illumination when a light switch is turned on, while other times it comes as gradually as light from a sunrise. So it can be one thing or it can be another. We don't know. It can be just, we're just gonna say it's either, what is it? So it's a quiet voice, or it's like a grant, or is it like a bam light switch turned on? Like, I don't. It's such, so convenient so for you that it could be anything.
That's the thing about bullshit, is they can just like, because there's no actual answer to these questions, they can make it fit whatever situation they want. Like, had had Pat and I like gone back to the church, him drawing that stupid dragon thing would have been like an inspirational story of like, mm-hmm. he had to catch my attention. No, he was drunk.
Exactly. And you could,
but,
and,
you know, like,
and this is the type of stuff that's so dangerous because it keeps people in abusive relationships.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
I bet anybody that you talk to that has been Mormon or is Mormon can tell a story about a couple that is staying together because they were, it was said by God that they needed to stay together, yet one of them is a complete asshole and abuses the shit out of them, yeah, whether it's emotionally or physically or whatever.
I had no intention of getting divorced until my ex was like, well, I'm moving to Utah to go to BYU and I'll be back in 3 months and we can revisit our marriage. And I was like,
Okay.
There's your divorce papers then. Like, you're leaving the country? Okay, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
And then the harm of, like, saying that it's spiritual confirmation, it's revelation to be eternal companions. Like, how do you...
That is the
like,
worst
no
kind
way...
of abuse.
Yeah. Just like we were talking about before with, like, with Becky and how it's that abuse cycle. It's the love... That's the love bombing part. It's saying that we're meant to be together and... all right, so the third thing is Institute. For listeners, Institute is the after, like when you're college age level.
It's like seminary for grown-ups.
Seminary.
Pretend
yeah.
grown-ups.
Yep. Attending seminary was a critical decision for young Elder Godoy, he recounted, one that profoundly impacted his spiritual journey. Because of those daily doses of gospel teachings, I was able to strengthen my testimony and resist temptations throughout my day. It helped me to understand that I was a child of God and that he has a plan for me in this life. So it just kept you indoctrinated. It kept you in the where they wanted you to be so they could keep the other...
It's the same thing as... Why people left during the pandemic? Because they had time to think. If a teenager has time to think during the day, they might think for themselves.
Yeah, shocking. Also, I am probably a good example of that not working because I would go to, I went to Institute, I went to the singles ward, I went to all their little fucking activities, and it's still, still gay, yep, and I'm out of here. Not feeling anything inside, so I'm dead inside and hating my life right now, but I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah, like the girls I used to party with and like go to the clubs with on the weekends, I met in Institute. Like, we would like go to church on Sunday, and then Institute was like Wednesday night, I think. Maybe. And then Thursdays, and then we'd party Friday, and then we'd like do crazy stuff on Saturday, and then we'd be in church hungover on Sunday.
Yeah, that's how basically I was. The girls that I hung out with all the time, and we'd go dancing and drinking on Fridays and Saturdays, and then we'd be in singles ward on Sunday. Yep.
Yeah, and there was like a row of us, and like. When they'd pass the sacrament, they wouldn't even stop at our bed.
That's when you know it's bad.
It's so funny. And I was dating... Oh, I wish I could put him on blast, because he's the guy... Okay. We, like, were at his place, and, like, playing pool in the garage, and, like, drinking. He was smoking, and there was, like, a ton of photos, and he went and untagged him, because remember Facebook, we tagged, like, every 900 photos we took at night. Yep. He went and untagged every single photo where there was like a beer in the photo or him holding a cigarette because he didn't want his mom to know.
Oh man, those were good times.
Oh, it was so, and I'd be like, and then he'd be like, he would like take a selfie of us like at church and send it to his mom. And I'm like,
I'm a good boy.
Like, are you? You had a threesome with your roommate last night. Like, oh. I was not interested, so I went home. But, you know, I approved, apparently. I just didn't know who the girl was, and that felt really uncomfortable. So,
that okay. stopped you.
That's it. She really wasn't that cute, so no, gotcha. Thank you.
Yeah, no.
I was like, you guys enjoy your Eiffel Tower. I'm going home.
yeah, no. All right. So anyway, service is the next one. I'm just going to let that one hang there for a minute.
Oh, sorry.
I was thinking about the swingers party that I went to.
Oh, God.
Accident. Kind of. It was more just like I got there and realized, oh, that's what this is. And, that's why they keep leaving in groups. Like, I'm going to drink more shots. I need more shots to do this.
Seriously. I was just minding my own business watching Heroes. And, you know, with, so we'll call him Hector. I don't know.
Oh, I was going to say Steve.
And his roommate, like, popped in and was like, hey. And I was like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
You guys have fun. I'm walking home. See you later. Bye.
I'm out.
I'm out. Have fun. Enjoy.
All right, so service. As a young adult, Elder Godoy was assigned as a home teaching companion to the young man president, who happened to be Sister Godoy's father. The young man didn't know much about the gospel, but his companion trusted Elder Godoy and gave him opportunities to teach. He said, serving made me feel valued, it prepared me to help others, and as a consequence, strengthened my own testimony. As young adults today are anxiously engaged in a good cause, he continued, they can likewise strengthen their testimonies. One way young adults can serve, added Sister Godoy, is to attend the temple. Oh, Jesus, it always goes back to that. Attending the house of the Lord frequently also brings blessings. In the temple, we receive lessons to help us overcome the world. That big, scary world out there that's, you got to do your little handshakes and do your little baptisms so you can be aware, you know, the scary world.
What do you learn in the temple? Like, this is something that you're going to learn how to take on the world. How? Like, it's the same thing over and over. It's the stupid creation story. It's the stupid handshakes. Mm-hmm. You don't learn shit about anything that's actually helpful in your life.
You don't. You don't. And I remember leaving, and a lot of people have said this, you know, but, like, you leave thinking, what the fuck was that?
Yes.
I didn't learn anything. And every time I went, it was like, same thing.
I even remember asking, like, is it different next time? And they were like, no, it's the same. And I was like, what?
Yeah. And I think the big message that I always got was like, oh, Satan's a bad, big bad guy and you need to stay away from him. And then, the only thing you can do to stay, to keep power over him is to do your little handshakes.
But you're not allowed to do them outside the temple.
Yeah.
Like, I just, okay. Let's just think of, like, okay, somebody has an addictive personality and they're really struggling to not drink alcohol. How does going and sitting through a 3-hour session of the creation story and a bunch of actors wearing an extraordinary amount of layers and sweating profusely, how does, just because you're so, like, mentally exhausted from it that you're going to go home and just, like, not sin because you need to, like, sit with these really confused emotions? I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know. The more I think about it, I don't really fully, I mean, looking back on it, I was like, I think at the time I was like, it was definitely felt like I was like, oh yeah, this, and it's more just like you look at other people and you're like, oh, well, they're obviously getting something out of it. So maybe I'm just not.
Yeah. Like there's something wrong with me. Cause I'm like, ready. What the fuck? Does Satan walking away from the camera, flipping his cape, have to do with financial struggles and paying my tithing? Like,
being gay, going there and thinking like, gay. Hey, I have these feelings. I'm told that I'm supposed to be going to the temple and getting answers, and I'll sit in the celestial kingdom and
celestial room, yeah.
And
where you're supposed to receive all this, like, good, fuzzy, warm feelings, and you're just like, why does everyone look so fucking stupid in here? Like,
yeah. Everybody's just talking really quiet, and it's just awkward more than anything, because you're just like, okay, now what? You know, like, now, God, you're supposed to appear to me, and, like, I'm supposed to have some sort of...
Yeah, like, I went there revelation. The day of my son's funeral and was waiting for God to tell me the reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, and...
Didn't even feel at peace in that room. Just felt completely alone and abandoned and hurt. And a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And I just, it makes me insane. The constant, the carrot on a string of get to the temple, get to the temple, get to the temple, get to the temple. And then you get there and you're like, oh, it's a man behind the curtain. Literally.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally.
Sorry, I'm getting emotional. It's literally. All the but like, you work so fucking hard. You give up so many things. You marry someone that gaslit you into believing. And you get there and you're like, okay, I made it. I've done everything right. And then it's just kidding. There's no answers. There's no big reveal. There's no.
It's just endless. Go to the temple, go to the temple, go to the temple. And you'll get your like. Just keep repeating it over and over. You know what repeating something over and over with expecting different results is? Insanity.
Kind of insanity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting... Now I'm all snotty even worse. I'm sorry. I'm obsessed. Train whistles going in the background. My dog's barking at the club. Fuck!
But no, and the fact that they're pushing temple work so hard lately... Like, they are pushing it, and they're also pushing the garments, wearing the garments. They just want more stringent, like, temple attendance, because the temples are empty. They're not filling the temples. They're not even filling the court ward buildings anymore.
Yeah, even 20 years ago, I never went, I think one time on a Saturday, it was too full, and we had to wait, like, half an hour for the next session to go through or something. One time.
Oh, yeah.
But it was Cardston on a Saturday. That's when everybody goes. Like,
yeah. Yeah, and I think when I was, like, leaving is when it was kind of probably, like, at its peak, you know, as far as, like, temple attendance. But, like, I definitely think that during the pandemic, like, temple attendance has gone way down. Church attendance obviously has. Church membership has gone way down. Like, they're suffering.
Yeah, they're taking, like, wards and putting them together because they don't have enough members in them.
Exactly.
But tell me again how the church is growing globally and we need all these temples being added. Like,
yeah. Oh, they're announcing the temples, as we talked about, where they're announcing the temples.
They're announcing
not actually they're not building them. Building. They're making the members think that they're growing and doing all this stuff, but they're not actually doing it.
Yeah.
So, they got to keep the ones that are in there strong. And that's why they're talking this shit to the youth right now. That's this whole thing is geared towards the youth. They want them to stay active. They want to, don't just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep do all these things. It's just because if we keep you in, your kids will stay in and then they want to
get them before their brains fully developed so that they're have no critical thinking skills to learn it in their 30s.
And most of these people that are listening to this are like their frontal lobes aren't fully developed. So
they're still smushy.
They're still impressionable. still smushy. So the next one is missions, of course. 6 months after Elder Godoy left to serve a full-time mission, Sister Godoy left for one as well. We saw, so she must have been...
She was older than him.
She's a cougar.
Wow.
We saw our missions as a good way to please the Savior and at the same time prepare ourselves for our married life.
I don't please the Savior.
Yeah.
Maybe I have a really dirty brain today, but that does.
I appreciate
service that. And pleasing the Savior. What kind of cult is this?
I saw this thing that was, I don't know if I sent this to you, but it was Big Dick Jesus, like these stained glass paintings where it looks like, stained glass windows where it looks like he's got a big dick.
No, but that's amazing.
I was like, oh yeah, he's hung. All right.
Oh no.
Oh no. He was hung on the cross, you know.
Hung on the cross. He does have a 12-pack in like most depictions of him. Like,
true.
Ripped.
Let's see. Wait, derailed. I don't even. A little side note that I found out: Marky Peterson. He was like a apostle.
Oh, okay.
Long time ago.
I'm like Marky Mark. Mark E.
Mark E. Peterson. So I found a quote from this man. Speaking of like marriages and stuff, I think, oh, marriage is the next one. So I guess this kind of, we'll just skip the mission stuff because all it is missions, go on a mission.
Blah, blah, blah. Go on a mission. Okay.
But the next one is marriage. And he has quoted to say that he, 40 years into his marriage with his wife, he has never seen her unclothed.
What?
They would have sex with, like, you can only think of, they would only have sex with their garments on. He would never see her fully unclothed. And just like, and I'm like, that's so, I don't. Why would you tell people that?
That's not the flex you think it is, buddy.
Yeah.
You've never, like, she's never showered or.
And Reddit was saying, well, and
I guess some people saying, shower in their garments.
That he was probably gay. That he probably just didn't want to see her unclothed. And so it was like, yeah.
Yeah. That's good. That's a good point, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know. My husband has an alert goes off in his brain that he's like, Dusty's taking clothes off. And he just like finds me. He just knows.
It's his naked Dusty radar or something. I have no idea.
I haven't even turned on the shower. I've got like my little towel and I'll go to turn on the shower and he'll be like, hey.
Hey, what you doing?
What it is. It's weird. I'm like, what? You having a shower? No, I'm baking a cake, clearly.
What do you think I'm doing in here?
He also will, like, bring me a cup of tea if I'm, like, having a bubble bath. Just to, like, because I'm naked. Like, it's just a weird thing. Straight men are weird.
Yeah. I would say gay men are, too, because they're some weirdos. Anyway.
I don't know. There's some weird women out there though too. So we're, you know what, the human race is just very strange.
We're all very strange. Yeah. Okay, so marriage. Many young adults feel they have to finish schooling and have a stable career before getting married. Interesting that you would want to be financially stable before you entered into a relationship and had like, oh, you're supposed to be destitute for like 10 years. It's a rite of passage.
I have a theory about this. I think it's a form of trauma bonding people when they go through those really horrible years of like no money, no food, shitty apartments. It bonds you because you're going through that trauma together. Mm-hmm. And it honestly, I don't know that it's healthy, but it does make you very
reliant close. On each other.
Yeah. Like looking at my parents who are obsessed with you, it's disgusting, you guys. It's weird. Like they're not all over each other, but they're just like they're so disgustingly cute. It's so
You're like, that's a little too much.
It's like, you know, like my mom will go see my sister and my dad will be like in Canada still and he'll text me and I'm like, you never, oh, it's because my mom's gone. Like, he's just like lonely by himself. Nobody wants to talk to me. Me and my dog, I'm just going to sit here and be sad. Like, it's just, but they got married at, my mom went to Rick's College. My dad followed her. I think they went to a year of college and they got married. So they were like 19 when they got married.
Jesus.
And then they moved to Calgary and lived in like, the apartment building they lived in has been torn down. It was like, it was in like, it's nowadays those condos are worth like $3 million, but back then it was a really shitty part of town. It was really sketchy. So they lived in this like shitty apartment. My dad was like working for California Closets, by the way. That was like his first job in the city, and they struggled. And then they had me.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like,
that's the ultimate struggle bus.
Imagine all this coming into your life with like, I know. So they lived in a shitty apartment. Homeless people were constantly unhoused people. That was rude of me to say. Unhoused people were constantly like breaking into like the lobby of their building. They had a baby. They were children themselves. They had no money. Like, no wonder my parents are like so like wrapped around each other because they had to be to survive that. The Calgary Navy really wasn't isn't great.
Survival instincts, you know, and yeah. We're humans are, we're creatures, we're social creatures, we're not, we've survived all like catastrophes in the world because of our survival instincts and because we've stuck together. Mm-hmm. So it goes back to biology too. And like the psychology of it, like the trauma bonding, and that's mm-hmm. a good point. I like that.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I only have my own personal to rely on.
Well, that's what my parents talk about too. Like this, my mom will always say, we only survived because we paid tithing, you know, and that kind of stuff. And I don't know if that's true. You're really good. She's a really good with money. Like she's a good budgeter and everything. I'm like, I think you were just really good.
She probably had to be too. Yeah. Like she had to budget to every penny in order to feed her children. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and what was the other point? Oh, there's also like this like sense of pride about that with when you talk to like older couples like that, like, oh, we went through this hard times mm-hmm. and they expect younger couples to go through that too. And when they see couples that are actually not going through that, they're like, their relationship isn't real or something. Or there's like this like, oh, they're so spoiled, or there's like, they're so titled, or
yeah.
And it's like,
it's a jealousy thing too of like, oh, you guys traveled before you had kids.
Yeah. That's... Oh, you got a career before.
Yeah.
You guys both have degrees before you had kids. Like I just,
yeah.
And
you can see my degree sitting there collecting dust.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's it's almost like my mom and I have like a great relationship, but sometimes the things I say about like my marriage and stuff, she's like, huh, like it's just, it's so out of the realm of what she experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like I feel bad for her sometimes. Not, I mean, I'm glad they had me because I like to exist. I feel bad that, like, you know,
that they had to go through that.
That 22-year-old her was pushing me in a secondhand stroller that they had gotten from like a salvage center. That, you know, like it hurts my heart for her that she didn't get to experience more of. And I mean, I think she's satisfied with
experience life without like. Find out who you are before you get married and get into that situation.
Yeah.
And also like have a, like get some self-awareness, get some emotional intelligence, whatever, but also get some financial stability before you enter into a marriage with somebody else. And
Yeah. Like we had to move back to the ranch for financial reasons because like they couldn't live in the city with a baby and, you know, have like childcare or whatever. And they wanted to raise me back home and all that, blah, 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 blah. But imagine if they had built their careers first and were more stable before they introduced children into the situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Could have been a whole different life.
So they say in this, she says, establishing a successful marriage is a process. Marriage life, this is Sister Godoy, a marriage life is a learning experience and that hopefully gets better as we progress. The love has existed since the beginning, so it's pre-existed, whatever, but getting along on a daily basis is built step by step. And then she says, there may be struggles like headaches, illness, and concerns with money, but you know what? This is how life is supposed to be. As if that's comforting. Like, thank you. Like,
yeah.
But you know that these people, these children that are listening, they are children, are like, oh, yeah, they're so right. One day, you know, and they're thinking in their head, like, one day I'm going to get married. Or they're sitting there with their boyfriend or girlfriend. They're just, like, holding hands. Like, yes, we're going to make it.
I can't make, like, you know, life decision skills. I'm not even able to, like, you know, rent a car without, because I'm not old enough. But let's get married and make more babies. That was my hesitation when Pat and I were getting married. I thought he was too young.
You're like, you can't even rent a car.
I was like, you can't rent a car. I have to rent a car on our honeymoon. Are you sure? Because when he proposed, I was like, really?
Not really.
Like, have you thought? I'm like, just look at this. Are you sure? You've known me for several years. This is what, really? I don't know. Seems like a bad idea to me for you, but all right.
Oh, and this is going back to that loneliness thing. For those who never marry in this life, he referred to President Hinckley, Stinkley. do not spend your life grieving over it. The world still needs your talents. It needs your contribution. The church needs your faith. It needs your strong, helping hand. Life is never a failure until we call it such. I'm sitting in love, like, how terribly the church, maybe the not the church itself, but like the church members treat single unmarried people, unmarried people, like especially like, oh, you're a woman that's in her mid 20s and you're not married yet. What is the, oh, she's
you
a sweet spirit
maid.
Maid, yeah. Yeah. And then the questions I would get when I was like nearing my 30s and I'm not married, and I'm like, none of your business. let's see. So the last thing is hope in the future. Elder and Sister Godoy ended that with their testimonies and a bold declaration that young adults can have hope in their future through the Savior Jesus Christ. I know that this life is the time to prepare to meet God. I know that He leads us and prepares the way. Basically, the only way for you to become who you need to be and to find joy in the journey is to involve the Lord. So the only way for you to have any sort of sense of happiness is to be part of the church and to get married young, and then you're fully reliant on the church, and then go to the temple so that you can and keep beating yourself over the head thinking that you're doing something right, but you're, I get moments of these glimmers of good feelings, so it must be right, you know, but it's no.
So I hate how they're basically saying it doesn't matter if you struggle and basically starve to death in the pursuit of paying your tithing and going to the temple, because you're going to meet God and it's always about the next life. Like, tell me you're a death cult without telling me you're a death cult.
That's what I was going to say. Like, it's a death cult. Like, they don't want you to focus on the here and now. They want you to focus on what's your blessings are in the afterlife that we don't know anything about. Nobody knows. Nobody actually knows what happens when we die.
No, nobody knows. Like, don't worry about having a relationship with your children in the here and now. You'll be able to like work on that in the next life.
Yeah, because you've got eternity to think about that.
Yeah. Like, don't embrace them for who they are as people. Just, you know, wait until they're spirits and then you'll be able to.
Yeah, don't get to know your son from a personal level, and let's get to know what his goals and dreams are, even though he's gay and like he just is and isn't part of the church, but just like keep him around because you want him to think that he's loved, but you can't be the bad people that are like kicking him out of the house and doing all this stuff, but you gotta like keep him around, but just also treat him like shit when you're around. So
so that when you go to the celestial kingdom, you can walk down the fancy staircase to the terrestrial kingdom or what the fuck ever, and you can like hang out with him. He can't come with you, but you can like go visit him.
So in the eternity,
can you reject that? I just want to know, can when these little, you know, with their little wings or whatever come down, can you be like
no,
you didn't have time for me in the last life, you don't need to have time for me now, we're good.
I'm good down here,
fully formed person by myself, thank you very much.
Yes, I would hope so. Oh man. So there you go. That was the journey, the quest. There was a side quest and a quest.
My stamina, I got my healing potion. That enraged me. So thanks for that. Happy Saturday morning to me.
Yep. Yeah. That was more evidence of how they're trying to target the young adults still.
Yeah.
They're still saying the same message of just follow these things, do these steps, and you'll be happy. Everything will be great if you just do what we say.
Yeah, and don't question it. Don't think for yourself. Just do what we say.
Yeah, which is that free agency. I've had conversations with, like, this drives me insane because they say they have free agency, but they're like, and there's this, like, whole, like,
it's a checklist of things you have to do. That's not free agency.
Circular logic, too, because it's like, okay, do I have free agency because I am doing what the church is telling me to do, yet I'm doing, because I'm doing the, what I, the church is telling me to do, I don't actually have free agency. Like, yeah. It doesn't, because I'm doing, I'm not given the choice to do mm-hmm. anything other than what the church tells me to do.
Right. Right. You only get the carrot at the end of the stick if you do exactly what they tell you to. You're not choosing to chase the carrot. You have to chase the carrot.
Yeah. And that's
not even paying attention to all the people that, like, get off the treadmill and just, like, walk over and grab a bag of carrots and leave. Like,
yeah. And they say, oh, well, so because I didn't choose to drink, or because I didn't choose to have, you know, premarital sex, I have free agency. I have more freedom.
More freedom. Things.
And it's like, do you though? Because you didn't actually, was that even your choice to do that? Yeah. Like, because you're just doing it because the church is telling you to do it. So that's not freedom. That's not free agency.
It's not a cognitive choice. It's you've been programmed this way.
Yeah. Oh man, it drives me nuts when they say, ooh.
We have so much more freedom than you. We're free from addiction. I can unequivocally say I am not addicted to alcohol.
Yeah, same. Like,
I can drink it or I can leave it.
But, oh, but they, like we've said before, if you have one sip of alcohol, you're an alcoholic, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Can't
function
without it.
Ugh. Goodness. A little fired up too, so
great. I'm gonna angrily fold laundry now. Knees aggressively.
Rage laundry.